And welcome. This is Seek Sustainable Japan. I'm JJ Walsh here in Hiroshima. And today we're talking about activism, climate change, diplomacy, entrepreneurship, coaching, and endurance athlete. My goodness, lots of things to talk about. We have Carol Fuchs with us. Thank you so much for joining, Carol.
Thank you for having me, and hello, everyone.
It's great to have you. Now, last year you were interviewed by the Japan Times. You have your own website. You're making products which are more sustainable for athletes. You're also coaching. You are an ultra runner, a super athlete as well. Lots of wonderful things to talk about. But where did this passion for the environment come from? Can you think back to a time when it started?
Yes, I think I have always more or less been in nature. So I grew up in nature and in the mountains. So when you spend so much time in the mountains, then you create an appreciation for those environments. And obviously, you want to protect it, especially when you see how much they are suffering right now. Yes, from climate change and loss of biodiversity, and so this is a forever job and a forever passion, actually.
Now, you were a professional athlete. You've climbed Mount Everest. Have you always been a super competitive or challenge yourself for being an athlete?
Yes, I have always been, but not so much. My competitive spirit's not so much developed. I more like spend time challenging myself in the mountains and through endurance sports. So it's not much more about competition, but just finding yourself through those challenging and exploring yourself and your own limits. Yes, more like self-exploration.
It's amazing. Tell us a little bit about climbing Mount Everest. You're the only person I've had on the show that has climbed Mount Everest. It must have been an amazing experience, but also really challenging, really difficult. How long did it take you to prepare for that?
Well, I did it like the hard way without much support and without supplementary oxygen. So it takes time. I want to say it's a 30 years old build up to this. So it's a long process. A bit disappointing, I want to say, because of how it is becoming right now. But I was lucky to climb through the north side in Tibet, so it was really quiet if you compare with like the other side, Nepal and the South Core. So yes, I have seen a lot of things that was like really mitigating my impressions and my feelings, like the loss of cryosphere. Yes, I was seeing dying glacier around, and it's more like it reinforced my willingness to fight for those environments more than the beautiful sceneries, more than achieving something big, climbing the highest peak on Earth. So it has like, really mixed feelings. So the climb in itself was something huge, of course, because you don't, you are not so much supported. So that makes a big difference between unsupported people and people who have so much support, paying for so much support that's not really hard to get there. So
You shared some pictures with me. So from 1924, yeah. Mount Everest, and then compared to 2018, Mount Everest. So you'll see a lot of loss of snow and the glaciers. Is that what we're seeing?
Yes, we are seeing like the climate emergency, actually, especially in the Himalayas, knowing that mountains are warming faster than other areas on the planets, like the poles, same process. So they are more vulnerable than other places on Earth. And actually, it's even melting faster than the scientists predicted back to the days. So yeah, I found it really, really, really alarming. And every time I'm climbing one of the 8,000 meter peaks or go back to Nepal, I really feel the difference. So yeah.
Wow. We have a question from YouTube. Amazing to summit Everest. How did you find the environment up there? Is it true that we hear about trash? So that's also an issue at Mount Fuji for climbing, a lot of trash from hikers. And did you see like air, like oxygen tanks and things on Mount Everest? That's a big issue, right?
Yes, it's a big issue. And I want to say that fortunately, in Tibet, the Chinese government are controlling it more than other parts of Nepal or Pakistan on K2, for example. So the Chinese are really strict counting the garbage. So they're inspecting once a week. So what is going up should go down. This is valid for not only oxygen bottles, but all the human trash and equipment like tents and things that could be abandoned. So human trash, I mean also, our own,
toilet.
Not food waste, but toilets and, packages, plastics and things.
That was a big issue. I just went to the Ogasawara Islands, which is sponsored. It's controlled by Tokyo government. And one of the big initiatives they're trying to do on those islands, on the nature reserve hiking trails, is to have bio toilets instead of having the Keitai toilet or portable toilet, they're called, because that creates so many waste issues.
Yeah.
Were there any bio toilets or things? Not yet on the mountains, huh?
So there is a new regulation coming up maybe next year on both sides of Mount Everest, the Chinese and the Nepali side. Yes, forcing you to use not even bio toilets, but just a bag that contain our human waste and bring it back simply. And that will be tracked. So it's getting stricter because you have to know that at a higher altitude, our waste, because of the atmospheric pressure and the cold, the freezing temperatures, it doesn't decompose.
Yeah, it's forever. Waste forever, which we should think about all our waste that way, right? It's a forever problem. Like what happens at the end of the lifespan? Now, this is connected to the entrepreneurial side of what you're doing, trying to create running products which are reusing recycled plastic, bamboo, and then at the end of life, you want to take it back and reuse it.
Yes.
This is a great initiative.
I think this is also what is at the center of the concept of like a circular economy. It's create a supply chain, but not only create those products out of recycled materials, but how you bring it back and how you dispose of those and what do you do with it.
Yeah. Now, when did you start your idea, Feel Running Designs, recycled and eco fabrics against climate change, and then the green runners? When did you start this initiative?
I started 2 years ago, actually. Yes, 2 years ago, out of this passion for sports and sustainability, because I wasn't satisfied by what the brands are doing, the major brands are doing, and I was kind of upset with the greenwashing they try to present. It's really alarming how they use sustainability and SDG to sell their product, to develop their own, to rebrand themselves as a sustainable brand. So I wanted to just explain, raise awareness about how difficult it could be to really build loops, actually.
Now, tell us about the product a little bit. So you're using recycled plastic and bamboo fibers, is that right?
Yes, so I use recycled plastic and bamboo fibers. So this was the first prototype, knowing that if you want to make it really circular, you should use monomaterial. And so if you use monomaterial, of course, it's directly like affecting the technicality of the product. It's less, it's less technical because you need, just one material to build your product. So it's really tricky. I use bamboo because it has some breathable properties and it's a natural fiber, but you cannot really build recycling circular economy products this way. So monomaterial is one of the key. Otherwise, you have to separate those. But combining the two is a good start, actually, to raise awareness and see how we could use alternatives to fossil fuel and other products. So the goal will be just to tell all the brands and to tell all the consumer that we don't need new plastics. We don't really want them, so we can just use what exists already.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy? Like plastics are in our body. I got some chocolate yesterday and someone gave me Himalaya salt. And yeah, we know that even the salt on Himalayas has microplastics in it. It is everywhere. We do not need more of it. So reusing what waste we already have is a good way to raise awareness.
Yeah.
But it's not the end game, right? We really need to find a way to just turn off the tap, use alternative materials for our products, right?
Yes, we really need, because when you recycle polyester, when you recycle plastic, we have to be aware that you cannot just do it forever. The technology is not yet there that you can recycle forever. The properties are decreasing and the quality is decreasing. Of course, you could recycle it, make a carpet with it. But yeah, so we should really find alternatives.
Yeah. Now, as you're out training as well, you say you always try to pick up trash along the trails. Yeah. As part of your athlete responsibility.
Yes, leave no trash behind. Yeah.
And are there
lucky in Japan because people are not just dumping trash. They're mostly in the mountains. They lose things. So I think it's nice if everyone has this gesture, like every time you see something, just take it back. It's good.
Now, I've heard the term plogging, plastic pickup jogging. Now, you're not jogging, you're trail running. So, plunging? I'm not sure if we can make a new word for you.
We can make a new word because this trash sometimes can just run for 50Ks with you. So this is also ultra trashing.
Ultra trash, yeah, picking up. That's a real commitment. That's wonderful that you do that. It's amazing.
I think that a lot of people are doing it, actually. People in the mountains really respect the environment, so that's really good. There is an implicit code, I think, among hikers and nature lovers.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it? Oh, we've lost you. Are you there? Oh, we lost Carol. Oh, there you are. Are you back? Carol, can you hear me? Okay, Carol might be coming back now. She also makes some products using coffee grounds. So these sunglasses made from coffee grounds and upcycled plastic. It's a really interesting idea. I put the link below to Carol's Feel Run website. Carol, can you hear us? It looks like you're frozen. Maybe go out and come back in. Extreme plugging. I love that idea. So we are talking in Japan. Carol is in Tokyo. I'm in Hiroshima. Rarely see trash when running. Much better than along roadsides. That's so true. Carol, can you hear us? Can you see us? Oh, there you are.
Sorry.
Oh, okay, I don't know what happened. I'm glad you're back. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
So we've talked a little bit about your products, your running. Now, one other thing you're using the recycled plastic for is the labels.
Yeah.
The sustainable tea labels. How do these work?
Actually, this is something that is becoming more and more like mainstream, avoiding those tags and all those useless plastics that we all cut and throw away. So no labeling and no tags. So just heat transfer, like printed on the t-shirts or like on any piece of textile. Yeah, I think this is saving a lot. If we all do that, actually we save a lot of resources.
That makes sense, isn't it? Even small changes can have a big effect.
Yeah, if millions and millions and millions of outfits are using it, yeah, for sure.
Now, recently you were one of the speakers at the One Young World conference. What kinds of things did you talk about?
I talk about mountains and dreams, yeah. Yeah, so mountains are a very good metaphor for life. So I use that to motivate the young generation to just dream big and then just climb the biggest mountain.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Do you sound like when I listen to you talk in interviews, you get so much energy from being in the mountain that it just makes you feel alive. That's where you want to be, right?
Yes, actually, I don't feel well with in concrete, in cities, in big cities. I think human beings are just born in nature and we are hunters. So I think we are not meant to be into boxes and concrete. We are meant to be in nature and the trees. So I think it's counterintuitive, like for me to be in the box, surrounded by a lot of people, cars. It's yeah.
Now, as a coach, are you able to pass on some of the advice that you use for yourself, especially for women athletes? I saw on your Instagram talking about having your period and training, or making sure that you're resting enough, eating enough, all these standard approaches to making sure you are a competitive athlete. Is there anything that you often go back to, the main things that people need to hear from coaches to make sure they keep running the best they can?
I think running is like life. It's a process. So what is really important is not just one race. It's not tomorrow, but it's the build-up. So more and more athletes want to run 100-kilometer ultra marathons, and they barely have any experience. But I think it's just building the process and being like a happy runner all the way along. So building up, of course, we need short-term goals to achieve our performance, but those goals have to be like fit into a bigger picture.
Yes, I think it's very important to see the full process and how we can just take people happily there.
Yeah, wonderful.
Well, I think endurance athlete is the most important thing. I think it's to keep the motivation because it can be really draining. So I think to keep motivated, you have really to think about your health, but to think why you do it. So know why you are doing things is really the key.
Yes, so the Green Athletes is a movement I'm trying to create around sustainability and how we can use our voice as athletes to raise awareness around us, because athletes are the most powerful vehicles actually to inspire the general public. So I think we should all use our voice and try to do our best and show the example. So yeah, get involved in all the movements and nature NGOs, and participate really closely to those actions and activism to protect our nature is really important. So this is the idea behind it. Yes, so I am actually in charge of climate change and biodiversity. So I decided to join the embassy 1.5 years ago, almost 2 years ago now, to be actually more like active on not only on individual, like raising awareness around me, entrepreneur, but also trying to improve things at a higher level, at the government level, because if we don't have the government and all the support from the government, we cannot really achieve things. So I'm trying to see how I can make a difference at this level. Actually, I am using what the UK government is doing in terms of climate and biodiversity, trying to present it and discuss how we could move forward and help work in collaboration with Japan to be more ambitious, to push the objective forward in terms of climate change and nature. Yes, so we concrete examples with my project, so organizing events on circular economy, trying to share experience and just trying to see what we could develop together with Japan, how we could build a supply chain, for example, and work with the government and exchange experience, UK companies, talking to Japanese companies, the public and the private sectors, to improve our knowledge and our action on circular economy, for example. Oh yes, so this is the hardest thing that now I am just starting. So it's a very simple idea. Instead of just using huge resources and harmful transportation, helicopters to climb 8,000 meter peaks and all the costly logistic, not only in terms of money, but also environmental damages that those expeditions are having now. So I'm thinking just to cross the full Himalayas range just on foot. Yes, to make a documentary and documenting the effect on climate change on the cryospheres and the people I will meet on my way. There is a very remote part that I have no clue about. But let's say that I know about maybe 70% of it. Yes, looking for sponsors for this project is the most difficult part, especially here in Japan. So I'm just starting to identify potential sponsors, which is really, really difficult. The chance of getting someone helping that project is really low. So yeah, I've just decided that I will go and do whatever I have. I just need to go on a long run and with a purpose, so I will do it whatever. Yes, amazing people are just supporting, and I think this is very, very, very positive and very, well, very nice, and I'm very lucky to have all those friends behind and supporting, so I hope I won't disappoint anybody. Yeah. Oh yeah, this is something I recently found while running in the mountains. So firstly, I thought it could be some animal, some deer hunters, some animal blood. But while I researched it on the internet, I found really interesting reports from scientists. Even Japanese scientists have noticed and studied that. So basically, it's a bacteria. It's a microalgae that it's developing in the snow, and that could be directly related to climate change. The hot temperature affecting that. So this is really alarming, actually, because if this is the case, we may have a big problem to face in the future, because it's causing actually the snow to melt faster than what we expect. So I think we should keep track of this.
Well, you talk about a lot of things that you're doing as an entrepreneur, things you're doing as an athlete, challenging yourself. What are things that you're trying to improve in your daily life or your daily work that you think other people might be able to apply to their lives or work or travel? Do you have any advice?
Yes, I try not to use fossil fuel. Actually, when I commute, I use my bicycle a lot. Mostly, I run commute, but I don't think that everyone wants to run commutes. Actually, but no one has the chance to be walking at the British Embassy with showers. So, I think it's just questioning. Questioning what we do, what we buy, I think. Be more demanding as consumers. For example, if we see a pack of bananas wrapped into tons of plastic, maybe we should just question it. And question where our clothes are coming from, and be more demanding as a consumer. And for people here in Japan, I want to advise them to look carefully about the like product supply chain, and be demanding sustainable products, more sustainable products. Vote. People should go and vote for the right persons to be in charge. So this is one of the key as well.
Yeah. Now, you also mentioned that you tried to do plastic free. And one of the big challenges you had was to have enough nutrition. You're trying to eat healthy, but you're trying to be plastic free. Were there any strategies that you have developed, like buying bulk or rewrapping, reusing? Do you have any strategies as an athlete? How do you balance health but less packaging?
I have just a period of time where I decide to be plastic free. It's almost impossible, actually, here in Japan. Otherwise, you end up buying very expensive product in bulk at very specialized shops. So it's extremely difficult. So I just periodize, and I just look like a week without plastic, for example, like as less as I can. But it's really, really challenging, especially when you live in a city like Tokyo. When you live at the countryside, it's a bit easier. You can go to the markets and find farmers. But extremely, extremely challenging in the cities.
That's really true, isn't it?
Yeah.
You were a triathlete. Do you still get out on your bicycle and do training and get to the countrysides of Japan? It looks like you're very happy out in the mountains on your bicycle as well.
Yeah, I bike commute, so sometimes I ride 200 kilometers from one spot to another. But I'm not doing triathlon anymore. I retired, so I just bike for fun right now, just to commute. I have a long ride in the mountain in nature, just for fun. Cross training as well, with like a very chill out spirit.
I hope you'll be able to come to the Shimonami Kaido, which is the famous cycling area that near Hiroshima, in from Hiroshima to Shikoku. Paul says, my old workplace would give travel subsidies for those who drive or use public motorized transport, but not for cycling or walking. Should be a bonus support for commuting under your own power. Initiatives, your entrepreneurship, what you're trying to do with diplomacy as well, your upcoming project. If anybody has any ideas about funding her documentary in the Himalayas and showing how climate change is not only affecting the environment, but also affecting the people along the way that she meets. It sounds like a wonderful project. Wishing you all the best with all of your amazing projects that you're doing, Carol, plus your coaching and your training as well.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Shadow of the